Welcome to EMG Transformations with Dan Stoll. Each episode will empower you to ignite your inner fire and provide methods to maximize your mental and physical performance. You never know how one valuable insight can make such a big impact. Please leave a 5-star review if this episode leaves a positive impact on you. And don't be shy to screenshot and share episodes on social media that you find helpful so we can spread the message and make the world a better place. You never know who may need to hear and the impact it has on them too. We're only scratching the surface. There's so much more to learn. Subscribe and stick around to manage stress, improve your health, and create lasting lifestyle changes. Buckle up and get ready to spark your transformation with Nova Fusion.
3, 2, 1, 0. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Welcome to today's episode of EMG Transformations. I have been blessed to meet some amazing people and be featured on some great podcasts. Today's episode is a feature on Colette Brown's podcast, Limitless Healing. Colette has a heart of gold, and this was one of the deepest conversations that I've shared. Whip out your journal and get your notes app ready because we're diving into the Pacific with Colette.
Our next guest hails from Michigan. A recent graduate of Michigan State University, he has taken life by the reins, venturing out into the world as an entrepreneur, helping others take action and improve their lives. In 2015, he was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis, and this turned his world upside down. Through the years of struggling with health, he has found a balance and shares the how-to with others through his podcast, EMG Transformations Podcast. And EMG, by the way, stands for Experiences Plus Mindset Equals Growth. It is my great honor to welcome Dan Stobel. Welcome, Dan.
That was an amazing intro. Thank you so much. And I'm so excited to be here today.
Me too. And this podcast has been a long time in the coming, even before you started your podcast and probably before I started mine. I think we've been kind of going back and forth, like this is a great synergy. And so I'm really excited to have you and share your story because it is, wow, it's really amazing. Like it's beyond the ulcerative colitis. And I would love for you to share with us just a little bit about where you grew up and a little about your backstory of what you went through growing up as a child. And let's get into where you are today.
Yeah, so I'm a bit opposite from you in the sense that I was an only child growing up. I know you had that family.
Yeah. So
that was, I liked it. You know, I had friends and I was social. I played sports. So that was good. And, you know, as you're an only child, it's like you're the only Christmas gifts under there. So like as a kid, you know, like you look forward to that type of stuff. And since I had friends at the time, you know, life was pretty good. But then there's always that but. My dad, he really picked it up with alcoholism and even prescription drugs. Later on, went to street drugs. And that was a really tough thing to manage.
What was your first memory of knowing and finding out about that?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't have a first memory because that's all I could remember is I was so young when he got bad that that's just what I knew. So when I think of my dad, he was just always like that. It wasn't as bad as he got, but it was a casual drinking that turned into suppressing emotions that he hasn't dealt with in years. So there's a lot of things to that, but there's definitely some moments that I remember, but that first one, it was just, that's just what it was. Like I didn't know any different because I'm an only child. I didn't talk to my friends about this stuff. So that's all I knew growing up.
And did did it manifest in ways of his absence from maybe sporting events or things at school, or just in your life overall? Because obviously if he was self-medicating, then he wouldn't have been able to show up for himself or for you in the way that he could have.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I've never thought about it that way, because he was never involved really in my basketball unless my mom dragged him to it. So I would play pretty much like around the year, very competitive. And it was my mom and my grandpa always taking me to those. And even just like, we had a basketball hoop outside, and that's something that just gets some rebounds for me. Let's just, you know, have this time together. But that was always pulling teeth. And I can't really remember many times where we did that. I would have my friend next door, so that kind of, you know, solved the problem in that sense. But, you know, it would have been nice to have more of a father figure, mm-hmm. because he was always more of a friend than a father. And, you know, that was helpful because my mom was very strict and she didn't really want me to go down the path that he did and mm-hmm. just have good friends in my life. So I was always in this weird place of total confinement. You have to come home at 8 p.m. You can't stay out past 9, even if it's your friends at your neighbors. And then my dad is just, yeah, go do whatever, have fun. So that was a weird tightrope for me to walk. And yeah, I mean, I've really never thought about that way. But, you know, things got really bad from 4th to about 10th grade. And he was bouncing in and out of rehab, jail a couple times for DUIs. And, you know, I didn't have any ways to cope, no one to talk to. It was just a lot of chaos. And because of that, like, I was kind of socially awkward in school. Like, yeah, I had friends because I played sports, but I was always the redhead, the, you know, little awkward. And, you know, people kind of like that. But for me, like, no one had any idea what was going on. So that was always something that I suppressed. And that is not the way to go, suppressing your emotions, because they can really store in your body. There's this book, The Body Keeps Score, and mm-hmm. everything you do, good or bad, it's going to tally up. So going through all of that, we'll start it there.
Well, I'm just imagining, for your mom, how hard that must have been to you, going through that and trying to be kind of like a single mom in a relationship and raising the husband and the son at the same time and trying to navigate it. And I think you're very lucky that you had a real nice male role model, being your grandfather, that was able to be there for you as some sort of support. But I think a lot of times our children just don't, there's not enough communication. And I think we as parents, I'm speaking for myself, need to be able to lay that foundation at a very young age of communicating and sharing, because it's so easy to hold it in, especially in the American culture. You go to other cultures and the children are at the dinner table conversing, sharing thoughts, opinions, and they're challenging. And they're, you know, when an adult says something, the kids will come back with, well, I think this. And it's the most beautiful thing. It should be out there, and they should have a way of communicating. So I think that gradually, as we evolve in the States, we will have better communication, and that could be more integrated in family dinners, and maybe therapy is normalized, and there are different ways. But I can imagine for you as a child, like, holding this in, like, where did you, do you remember feeling it in your body in any certain place?
You know, I just had constant anxiety all the time. And I never, you know, even till like recently, I never said that I had anxiety. Like, I would think that anxiety is a massive panic attack that shuts you down. And it can be subtle as, you know, just going in a room and getting anxious, or coming home and not knowing what to expect. So there was all those things. And now that I think about it, like, yeah, my body did shut down a few times. So I think it was more of a denial. I kind of was picking it up that, yeah, this really puts me in that fight or flight state. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's hard to just manage and live life and go to school, study, pay attention when you're just in this constant state for years. It wasn't like it was just an on and off period.
Right.
It was pretty constant. So that was difficult.
And did you have any coping skills at that time, or did those come much later, or did you develop bad coping skills? What was that like?
I'm lucky in the sense that I looked at him and said, I'm never going to do that.
Okay.
So I never drank alcohol in my life. Not going to, no plans on that. I just know what it does. So I've been peer pressured many, many times, and it's just something that I'm not going to budge on that value. So
it's an easy no.
It's a very easy no.
You saw the dark side.
Exactly. Yeah. I knew what it would do to yourself and your family as well. Like, it's not just you, it's the people around you. So that really hit home for me. And ways to cope, no, I didn't really have any except for basketball. That's all I did. I got my body moving. It got my mind off things. And I would have friends in that, like, some of my closest friends are from basketball. So that's my coping skill. And, you know, that's something that I truly love too. So it's not just that I found the sport that I'm good at. Like, I still play 3 days a week with a group of guys. And that, if I didn't have that, like, I could have, because I was an angry kid. I really was. I was an angry teenager, angry kid. I wanted to change things. I felt like I could. I had to be the man in the house at certain points. And, you know, I was like, it got to this point where it's like overthrowing in a sense, like you're not responsible. And I felt like I could hold my own ground at that point. So if I didn't have those coping methods, that community of the basketball brothers, it could have went down a different path for sure.
Did you feel at the time, and did you notice when you were playing basketball that you just kind of evacuated, or was it just that you did it because you loved it? Did you feel anything?
Both. Yeah. Like, I knew it was a good way for me to just get some of that stress out and that anger, because, you know, like, you're running up the court, you're getting physical with guys, like, it just gets it out of you. So
that
was my way to just get it out, really.
That's good. And so I think this is when you really start coming into your body and how you feel, because we all come into it at different times and we all come into it different ways. And I think for everyone listening, if you're not in tune with your body and you don't know how to recognize the red flags and what certain things are in your body, as you mentioned, anxiety, I think it's really important to get in tune with that, however it is, whatever it is, and start observing your life, right? So you're moving through, you graduate high school, and where does that take you?
Well, there's a big roadblock in between there.
Okay. So,
yeah, I got diagnosed with ulcerative colitis weeks before going into my senior year.
Wow.
So I made it for the first like week and a half, 2 weeks, and then I was homebound for the rest of the year. And yeah, my illness just kept progressing and getting worse. I was literally just in the bed or in the bathroom. Like, there was no other places that I was for that like 9 month period and more than that. But so I ended up getting through school. I still graduated. I'm teaching myself through the book. I don't have a teacher really. And I ended up walking graduation. And then 4 days after that, I have the first of two major surgeries that remove my entire colon. There's nothing I could have done to prepare for that. I had a surgery consultation with a pediatric doctor. That was this horrific three-part surgery. I stopped listening to him after 5 minutes. I was in denial about my illness a little bit, but at the same time, I was like, no, I'm not going to let someone do that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up seeing an adult surgeon because I'm 17 at the time. My body's developed a little bit, and they have a better two-part surgery. And I was still in denial going into it, but I was listening and I realized that, okay, I actually do need the surgery. I can think that I'm going to get better all I want. And ironically, at the time, my dad's dad, my grandpa, he had, I think, pancreatic cancer, stage four.
Wow.
And he had the same mindset too. Like, he was getting his green drinks at that time. And this was this really stubborn farm guy that he's just like this rural guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for him to say green drinks, like, that was a, like, what, like, what's this guy
not
doing?
Bacon and eggs. Yeah. Hash browns. Like, yeah. Biscuits, yeah, and gravy.
Yeah. So it's like, he was making these like changes to really combat his illness. And unfortunately he didn't make it through that. And, you know, that might've been a flag for me that maybe I can't get this too, as much as stubborn as I want to be, because that's what we are. We're a stubborn family. You know, I thought I could, but I realized in that moment during the surgery consultation that this is what I needed. And I completely broke down because I was in denial up until that point. I was sobbing, like sweating, like my whole body just like realized that this is happening. My entire life is going to change. And going through those with the ostomy bag, that was some of the darkest days that I've ever had. Angry, no self-confidence, very insecure. And I couldn't even really look at myself in the mirror. Like, that's how bad it was. And such a bad body image that I had with myself. Mm-hmm. And that really stuck with me for the years after the surgery, just because it imprinted. Your body keeps score. And I was tracking that every single day. So that was tough. And after that second surgery, I was, first off, very looking forward to that because I didn't want this bag on me anymore. But I ended up having complications. I was on a liquid diet for about 3.5 months.
Wow.
And they ended up doing this procedure to help me out. But that whole next year was just trial and error to figure out what I can even tolerate, because before I had the surgery, my diet was changing just because I got this illness. With the ostomy bag, totally different diet. And then the second surgery, the things that I could have previously, I couldn't have anymore, and it changes again. So it was a lot to deal with, a lot to figure out and learn. And, you know, those lessons, fortunately, have brought me to the place I'm at now, but it was very tough to get through all of that.
Yeah, I can imagine. And so you had the first one in 2015, and then the second one was how far out from the first one?
Yeah, so they were actually both in 2016. The first was yesterday, June 8th, and then the other one was August 15th, so about 3 months.
3 months apart. And then the year leading up to that, what was that like? Were you were just in bed, and were you doing schoolwork from home?
Yeah, doing schoolwork in my bed, not in the bathroom, at least. Mm-hmm. That was good. Mm-hmm.
Good.
But I was, so my mom, she moved out. There was just so much going on, Colette. My mom moved out because my parents never got married, and they only stayed together because they had me. So that was a weird thing. And then she eventually moved out. She just got to the point where she couldn't stay there anymore. So it's just me and my dad. He's getting worse. He's doing these street drugs now. And I actually found an open needle on the bathroom floor. Like, I could have easily stepped on that. And yeah, so that happened. And that was the point where it's like, okay, I need to get out of here now. And at that point, he was still He was in denial about my illness too. Even though I'm not going to school, I'm in bed, I was still fine, apparently. And he wanted me to do chores, yard work, all this stuff. And I couldn't. And that also tore like a little rift between us. And it wasn't good. I would say that it wasn't good. It was very stressful. I was in the worst pain ever. And, you know, during that point, I was suicidal too. It just got to the point where I didn't want to be here anymore. I had a girlfriend at the time that was good for me to have that support. But then she also cheated on me like 3 months after my diagnosis. So I'm in a bad headspace already. I'm getting these dark thoughts. And then that happens. And it's almost like, well, there's one less person that I have to worry about when I'm gone. So like, it wasn't good. And I was able to pull myself out of that because I thought about my mom and my grandpa. And, you know, I actually put this 7-day deadline on my life. And wow, as the days got closer, I thought about them more and more and how it wouldn't be fair for me to transfer all of that pain that I'm going through onto them. And, you know, even though I wouldn't be here anymore, they would have to live with that for years. And I couldn't do that. So that was my why for a long time, to just still be here for the ones that believe and support in me. And, you know, that got me through those very, very dark times.
You know, I'm hearing your story, and I've heard similar ones, you know, the contemplation of suicide, when you're just at the end and you don't know where to go, and you don't know what to do, and you don't have the tools, and you can't see the solution to the problem. And then what a beautiful thing that you took a pause and you thought of others, because that's who you are. Like, you're just one of the sweetest people and so mindful. And I can't imagine you being an angry person or a raging person. I can't see that in you. But we all have our past and things that have happened. And so once you found your why and you knew that, okay, if I'm not going to live for myself, I'm going to live for them. And where did it go from there?
Yeah. So from there, all of 2015 was really this trial and error period, figuring out with my diet, just the things that I could and couldn't eat. Mm-hmm. I was still going to the hospital at that time just because there was things that I ate wrong and certain things like that where I would get intestinal blockages. That's the complication that I had after my second surgery. I only have my small intestine now, and it kind of settled in with this little twist. So if I eat too much at a time, it'll cause a block. Certain foods are just thicker than others, so that could cause a block. It's just this whole thing that I had to figure out, and I still battle today. But through those years of trial and error, I've kind of figured it out at this point, and I don't really go to the hospital at all anymore. So that's, well, ER at least. So that's good. And then 2018, I'm starting to get on my feet. But then there's this big moment that happens in February. I got mono, I got E. coli, I got an intestinal block. And then my girlfriend, I ended up staying with her after she cheated, because I just didn't have anything at that point. So someone's better than no one. Mm-hmm. And we worked through it, but she ended up breaking up with me. And so those four things just came crashing down literally within a week. So I'm at the hospital, and, you know, I just realized, like, okay, I'm on my own again. I have to figure this out. I don't want to go back to the places where I were, because I've kind of rebuilt my body back up. I gained like 10 pounds, but then within that 2-week period, I lost it all. So mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I really don't want to go back. And that was the fuel to my fire, Like, yes, I was upset about my girlfriend, but I was more upset that I relapsed. And I didn't want to relapse ever again. Honestly, I haven't since that point. And that really just took me down this journey of personal development, getting my body right. I was committed to going to the gym 5 times a week at that point. Like, I don't even do that now. And I was eating healthier. I was listening to podcasts. I got a book. Like, those were things, podcasts and books. I was new to that, but I just knew that I was on Twitter and I would just see these like pages and they would have some valuable insights. I'm like, okay, I can apply that to my life. And then I would get introduced to someone, see their book, stuff like that. So it just really brought me down this rabbit hole. But if I didn't have that event in 2018, I might be just struggling in trial and error. So I really catapulted my life. And then in 2019, I decided to write a blog, just going through the first 4 years of my health journey. That's all it was, danstoll.co. And, you know, I just wanted to put my story out there to help others in similar situations and just be like, yeah, you can get through this. And I just tried to show some tips that I learned on my journey. And from there, I didn't know what to do. I just had this calling to share my story, but what was next, I didn't know. And a couple months later, EMG hit me and I was like, okay, I can roll with this. So within like a year and a half after EMG,
is the podcast, just so people remember.
Yes, this, well, it wasn't the podcast then, it was just this idea.
Okay.
It evolved, and that's like the beautiful thing. So we rebranded from Dan Stoll to Nova Fusion. I wanted to like just get away from me being the center focus and bring on other people. That's what the podcast is like. We want to share stories of resilience and overcoming adversity, not always health, because I know that we're all battling something. And it's just to show that if I or you can overcome those situations, then someone out there listening can also overcome what they're going through. And, you know, everything that I do now just kind of is a full circle from that first blog post that I did. Everything, it just comes back to that and helping people in those similar situations. So yeah, that's what I'm doing now. And that's what all of those years have kind of led up to.
Dr. Doug's offers the best organic topical balms for protecting, healing, and restoring your skin and life. Just twist off a cap, apply like lotion, and get ready to feel outstanding. My favorite products are the magnesium balm for headaches and recovery balm for coaching basketball or training for a Spartan race. But that's not all. It started with Dr. Doug's original Miracle Balm, a rejuvenating balm fueled with all organic ingredients, including beeswax, extra virgin olive oil, extra virgin coconut oil, shea butter, peppermint and lavender essential oils, and vitamin E. This one-of-a-kind solution is designed to tackle an array of skin concerns such as itchy dry skin, eczema, any rashy, irritated areas, and much more. Now, if you're bright and pasty like me, you may want to consider their Miracle Balm plus zinc as a natural sunscreen to keep you from frying up without any harmful SPF chemicals that are linked to cancer. Now, do you hate bugs? Me too, but we got you. Try Dr. Doug's Bug Potion to repel bugs, relieve itchy bites, and kill bacteria so you can enjoy the great outdoors once again. There is truly something for everybody, including that little one in your life who is trying to tell you to get Dr. Doug's baby balm for their bum right now. And here's your chance. Click the link in our show notes now to enhance your life with Dr. Doug's balms and get extra to share with those who you care about. Take back your power and feel outstanding with Dr. Doug's Natural Balms.
And I find, I say this often, but it's so true. The people that have had the darkest experiences and have touched the depths of their soul have usually the most brilliant, bright story, because they can share with you, hey, I've been here and now I'm here. And I know you can too, which is why I started my podcast, which is why you started your podcast. It's sharing stories of hope and healing and resilience and the how-to. How do you do it? And for everybody, it's a little different, right? And that's what I love. And so whether it is a health journey or it's a emotional journey for you, it's all correlated and it's all connected, because wellness is not just food. It's not just exercise. It's not just meditation. It's healthy relationships and mindfulness and community and really being intentional about what we're doing and what we are consuming, and, you know, whether it's social media, the internet, relationships, but consuming healthy. And I just love this story. I didn't know a lot of this about you, and I'm so happy that we're able to share it right now. And I want to ask you, like, when you developed that EMG, what was it inside? Did you have an end goal vision, or was it just like one word that stuck out to you of where is this going? Or was it just following that little inner voice? And what was it for you?
Yeah, you know, I think it was that little voice that you just mentioned. After the blog, I was really like, okay, what am I gonna do next? Because I can't just put one thing out and be done. Mm-hmm. So I was looking for like maybe a tagline, or that's what it is now. But I was just trying to like come up with this catchy phrase or something. And I don't necessarily, I wish I had like a good story for this, but I don't know how necessarily EMG came into existence, but it did. And I think it was more so the experience. I wanted to like make this equation probably. So I did experience plus mindset equals growth. And that's truly a reflection of my journey, but also it's very universal. We have to go through experiences, and until we learn from them, we're not necessarily going to get that growth, because if we just stay with this fixed mindset, the same thing can happen over and over. Mm-hmm. But until we make those tweaks, then nothing's going to really change. So I think just finding this universal message, that was the big part for me.
I think too, I can imagine what it was like for you or anyone, that when you still yourself enough and you quiet the mind, and hearing that guiding voice for the first time and listening to it and saying, I hear you. And yes, like, let's go, let's do it. When you can get to that point, it opens up a whole new world for you. And that's what I think for me, the meditation is being able to quiet the mind and the noise and everything that's going on. There's things that happen in our life every day, and we can't stop that. But what we can stop is for 10, 20, 30, 60 minutes, and we can be still and we can center ourselves and we can listen. And when we can do that, magical things can happen. And that's where we get the courage and the strength to move forward past circumstances that feel like they're overwhelming and we won't be able to get around them. So I love that. So you launch this whole new brand, and then you start thinking, there's another platform that I can share on. And I just want to say your podcast is amazing. The information that you're sharing it's from the heart, and you have guests on that are sharing from their soul. And they're sharing the how-to behind what they did. And they are sharing hope. So how long did it take you, just for people that are like, I don't know, should I do a podcast? How long did it take you from, OK, conception to actually launching it?
Oh, I feel like I'm almost afraid to admit this.
Okay.
But probably I got the idea back in 2020 that a podcast would be a good idea to share these stories.
Mm-hmm.
2021, I was like, okay, that's like a business. I was too insecure to do it. And I was like, okay, this is a good business opportunity. I should do it. That was more so last year. And so I was sitting on the idea for 2 years. Then I'm like, okay, I should really do this. Now this year, in April, I finally launched it. So it's been an idea for a long time. But if you have an idea like that, that just won't go away and it keeps whispering in your ear,
mm-hmm.
you should probably do it. If mm-hmm. it scares you, you should probably do it.
Yeah. Mine was about the same time frame in 2020. I got this seed planted in my head that I needed to have a podcast, and I had different roadblocks along the way, but inside of me, I knew that there wasn't a doubt that I would be launching one. It was just wasn't the right time. And there's also that. So when you do have that whisper and you do have that desire, sometimes it's just being able to also step back and say, okay, universe, God, whatever, guide me and let me know when it's the right time. And then you'll know, and ask for signs, ask for guidance, and try. Don't just sit back and say, when it's going to happen, it's going to happen. It's not like that. You have to put in the work and the effort. And when it's the right timing, everything just happens. And I guess I can give an example of if you're under stress for work or something's happening in life and you put all your attention on it, things happen. You get them done and you look back and you think, I don't even know how I did that. And it's because that at that point, you kind of let go. You were a conduit. You were a vessel of getting stuff done and doing it. But you let go and you let something else guide you that was bigger than you. And I think it's such a good reminder for us to look at our lives and to really look at those moments that are beyond us and know that, you know, we had help and that we can access help at any time, but we just need to slow down enough and be mindful enough to know that it is there for us and accessible. So I love that story. And I'm so happy that you are doing it, and you're already making a massive change in the lives of people that are around you. And I know that the more you do that and the more you settle into that, and as scary as it might be, and sometimes we feel like I'm not worthy, I don't have enough experience, I don't, you know, who am I to share this? But who are you to withhold that information? And yeah. I think you might have gotten to that point too.
Yeah. And it's interesting because when I had the idea, I couldn't even do like a story on my phone, like talking on camera. Like I was too monotone. I was awkward. Like if you go look, anyone can go look back on my Instagram. I had to grow into it. That's the thing. Like I had this idea. And yeah, I could have done it, but it wouldn't be anywhere close to what it is today. And during that time too, in 2022, before I graduated, I put out this online course that was EMG, just trying to share all of these lessons that I learned. It didn't do well, but that's not the point. The point is that I had to record day after day, edit, get these skills and put in the work. And just because it wasn't the right moment for that opportunity, doing the podcast now, I'm an experienced editor. And for someone just starting, that's a big thing to figure out. And being on camera talking. Yeah. So
yeah,
like I feel like I'm actually experienced even though I'm just starting, which is like a weird thing, but it's because I put in the work behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't told this with anyone, but it's like, you have to do the work like that. And you don't know when those results are going to come, but you have to stick with it, stick with your mission, stick with your why. And just because one thing doesn't work out doesn't mean that other things won't. And
yeah,
my mentor actually gave me this great analogy. Like, if you think about a chef and he makes you a meal, if he makes that meal and you don't like it, does that mean he's a bad chef? No, it's just that didn't for your taste buds, or it's just not your thing, or maybe it was a bad dish. But that doesn't mean the chef is bad. He can whip up another one and it could be the best tasting meal you've ever had. So, I mean, unless it's your cooking, of course, but
that's sweet.
But like, that's the thing. Like, you can't judge one failure because it's not a failure. It's a learning lesson, and it's just getting you closer to something even better that you may have no idea yet.
Yeah. I heard something recently, where somebody walked on stage and fell, and they were embarrassed. And then later they said, you know, I kind of shifted my mindset after I fell and thought, I'm being an example for people that also fall, that they can get up and they can keep going. And I thought that's one of the most brilliant things I've heard, because we're not perfect and we all stumble and we're all making it together and working our way through. And so having a perfectionism is not possible. And the fact that, you know, you have those videos, I did not want to be on social media when I started, and it was a big resistance for me to get on camera, and I like my private life. And but I had the realization of, who am I not to share my story and my experiences and the knowledge that I have? And that's what propelled me. So I think we're very similar in that way, where we both had this realization of, okay, like we're going to step into it. And so what are some things that you do today to manage your health that are beneficial for you that other people could also benefit from?
Yes. So two of the biggest things that I always go back to that keep me from going to the hospital is stress management and diet. Those are the two things that keep me stable, keep me healthy. And if I just kind of do those two, I'm in good shape. But you need to exercise. There's other things like cold plunging. Journaling has been one of the best things for me. I started that in 2018. So as I was going through those dark days, and it's very interesting to go look back and see where I was at that point. Highly recommend anyone out there to start journaling if they don't. Cause like, I literally got like four of them now, and it's just like this stack of 1,000 pages. It's just a very cool thing to do. And I think something that we talked about is looking at your progress. I can see how far I've come, and that's a beautiful thing. And it just helps you continue that mindset of, I've never arrived, and I can continue to keep going. There's no stagnant spot. So that has really helped me. And support, finding the right support system, having just good people around you with the same values, the same lifestyle, so you guys can grow together. You know, relationships can be a tricky topic for sure. Some of the best things that have helped me with that is setting boundaries. Unfortunately, I haven't talked to my dad in probably 6+ years now.
Wow.
It's something that I had to do for me. And throughout the years, I'm a kind person, and I feel like, you know, I could reach out and maybe there's some things that I could do to help. But at the end of the day, and this is something that my grandpa taught me, is that you can't help someone that doesn't want to help themselves. And if they're not willing to put in that work, they're going to be a liability, and it's going to turn into your responsibility. And that's not fair to you. That's not fair, really to anything. And so you just have to put yourself and your peace first, so then that you can be out there to help and support those that are ready to take that next step. And if you're just You know, you can care so much, but at some point they have to make that decision and you can't do that for them.
Yeah, no, you can't. And that's beautiful because there's also the aspect of if you do the work for somebody, they can't learn and you're it's a disservice and you have to let them learn on their own. The other thing I wanted to say is that looking back with growth and you can look back and see where you've come from. I recently had a podcast with a mutual friend, Nick Connor, and he had written a book and I talked about it on the podcast and I had read it and it was really inspiring to me. And he said, you know, I haven't been promoting it because I was a little embarrassed about it because I've grown so much since I wrote it. And I just kind of forgot about it. And I said, you know, we're all in different steps of the journey and people aren't as far along as we are. And there's people that are just beginning and it's good for us and it's good for them to see where we've come and to see that, like the growth that has happened in that time frame and that they can grow too. And so I think those are some great points that you brought up right now.
Yeah. Really, and I just want to mention that about Nick's story. He was at that place and, you know, he's meeting people where they're at now. So people right now that really need that book, they're not going to be ahead in the position that Nick is at right now. Mm-hmm. He's grown since that. So that book is to help the old Nick, essentially, that really needed those tools. And now that's going to inspire people going through that similar situation to help them get to where Nick is at now or whatever their vision is for them.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's great. And it's the journey that we go through. Yeah. I ask all my guests toward the end, if there was one message that you could broadcast out to the world and this was your last message, what would that be?
Yeah. So I was asked on another podcast, like, what would one rule be if you had to do? And I didn't have like the best answer because I was on the spot. But I thought about it afterwards, and this is my answer. The golden rule, just treat others how you would like to be treated, not how you think they want to be treated. I mean, that can go good or bad, but just have empathy for others and just be a kind person. If you wouldn't like someone being rude to you, why be rude to others? If you wouldn't want someone to steal from you, don't go stealing from someone else. Like, it's these simple things. But on the flip side, like, everyone enjoys a compliment. We like to feel good. So if you can compliment someone, if you would enjoy that, do the same thing back to them. Hold the door open. Like, just these little acts of kindness go such a long way. And especially if you're in a situation, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes when you're just walking past people on the street. They could be going through the worst time of their life. Mm. And if you just say, hey, I love your outfit today, it looks great, that can just make them smile and uplift them for the rest of their day. Even if it's so small, they might not be getting those types of interactions or those comments because they're so stressed out or they're just not even looking for that. So if you just hop in their life and share that kindness, it really does go a long way. And, you know, I've experienced that through my dark days, and it's just a really special thing.
Yeah, that's such a good, deep reminder of it's really that simple, right?
It's great.
Just treating others.
Yeah. Like, I learned that in first grade.
What was that experience?
Like, just treating others how you would like to be
treated.
Your
teacher made sure that you guys knew.
Yeah, like, that was one of the core things you learn. So, like, love it. That stuck with me.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one to stick, right?
Exactly, yes.
And be applied into your life. Not just stick, but very good. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else that you wanted to cover before we wrap up today?
I think we went pretty deep in this one. I'm good. I think this was an amazing conversation, some great tips and stories, and You're just a great host. So thank you.
Thank you. And I'm so happy that we made this work and happen. And I'm so happy to be sharing your message with the world. All right. And everyone, until next time, be well.
Are you ready to take charge of your health and transform your life? Well, get ready because we have the solution for you. Introducing the NovaFusion 21-Day Wellness and Resilience Challenge, the ultimate program designed to stack massive momentum, achieve peak performance, and spark your transformation. In just 21 days, you can experience a total wellness revolution. Our challenge is jam-packed with daily inspiration, education, downloadable resources, and exciting challenges to keep you fired up and on track. But that's not all. When you join the challenge, you'll also become a member of our exclusive NovaFusion family. Together, we'll support and uplift one another as we continue to grow and thrive. Unlock the secrets of the world's best wellness and resilience practices to stay mentally and physically fit for a lifetime. From renewing healing practices to transformative high-performance techniques, we've got you covered. And here's something that sets us apart. I believe in these practices so much that I'm offering a money-back guarantee. That's right, if you don't see results, you can get your money back. So you have absolutely nothing to lose, but everything to gain. So what are you waiting for? Take advantage of this limited time opportunity right now. Go to NovaFusion.co/challenge to sign up and embark on the journey of a lifetime. Let's spark your transformation together. I can't wait to see you on the other side.